It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Chris McMonagle and Willie Colon filling in for the guys yet again on this Tuesday morning. We're coming to you live from the Biltford Tough studio right here at WFAN. And yes, the Yankees get a win. Does it matter all that much? I don't know. It's against the lousy Twins they always beat. But it feels like around this parts, we never just talk about what's going on. We got to delve back into all the issues that have been going on for the last 20 years. I am tired of the past. Willie, how are you? How are we doing this morning?
You made me nervous. You sounded
I made you nervous?
It didn't make me nervous, okay. But you know, I didn't know what type of mood you were in.
And
you
I'm in a better mood.
I didn't sleep well, so
it's
tough to sleep when the kid's in a bed. And, you know, I woke up at 1 o'clock thinking I missed the show.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
I saw a light flickering in my room, and I assumed it was the sunlight coming in. And I was like, oh, no. Poor right. Chris. I left Chris hanging.
So I would have just yelled about the Yankees all morning. But, yes, no, I would have missed you. That's the worst, especially, you know, years behind the glass. We always have the dreams, too. It's not just the wake-up, it's the dreams.
The dreams.
It's the board-op dreams? The dreams of, like, you're locked outside the room and the show's going and you can't push the buttons
and
you're playing kid. Oh, that's a legit thing.
So Eddie has experienced this, too.
I would think so. I think we've all had the dream. Flea?
Eddie has confirmed that he has them. Not as frequently as he used to. Oh, yeah. I had one, like, 3 days ago.
Yeah. It's part of the,
And this is year what for you?
13. It was on the day where I took off, and just for whatever reason, like, my mind was guilting me for not being here.
That's the worst thing as a ball player, man. There were times that I, like, especially big game week, you know, we got a big rivalry come up.
Yeah.
I would sleep hard. I just didn't sleep well. And I would pop up, like, in the middle of the night thinking, like, I missed the first half of the game.
Yeah.
Or, like, wake up in, like, a panting, like that.
Yeah, no, it's scary. So, I'm telling you.
I felt a little bit of that last night.
Well, I feel like we can't escape the dream or nightmare of the past of these franchises. And I was thinking about this all day yesterday. I was listening to The Fan and on social media as well. Like, I'm Joel Sherman, and a lot around the Yankees specifically, but I was thinking about the teams in general, because every time, like, I know the Yankees have struggled here, and we understand that they have a lot of similar things in common throughout the past, but it just feels like we can never just talk about the team. Every time we talk about the Yankee struggles, it's like this every year. Brian Cashman and the organization. This goes back to 2004. This is just a debacle. Everyone needs to clean house. How is this tolerated? The same thing instead of just looking at this team. Like, and it's the same thing and going the other way, too. Like Aaron Boone, there's plenty of teams that are in the same position we are that have been worse than we are, and we found a way. Like, we never just break down, like, what's up with this team right now? Because as frustrating as the history of this team has been, right? And again, you're going back to the recent history, we talk about, oh, every year I've seen this movie play out. Every year we know what happens. Well, last year, the movie went longer than every other team except the Dodgers. Like, they were in the World Series last year. Who cares about their record in June or July when they're in Game 5 of the World Series? Like, that no longer means anything to me.
Well, I think that's why yesterday felt cathartic, right?
Yes, a little bit.
It felt normal to see Will Warren take him into the seventh, for our bats to be batting, you know, for staying in Rice and all those guys to be able to kind of get us going, man. And even Chisholm hit one late. It felt like old Yankee baseball.
Yeah.
Right? It felt like, all right, good pitching, power bats, beat the Twins.
Yep.
It felt normal.
It did. It did. It was that. And I take very little away from it, to be totally honest with you. Like we talked about yesterday. I hear what you're saying. My point is, you're 100% right. It felt like the world was in the right place. It felt like is Yankee baseball.
Yes.
They pound the Twins. They hit home runs. They got a good pitching performance, which was really, to me, Will Warren and the way he pitched last night is the one thing you really do come away with a positive feeling about. Right. I think Will Warren did pitch a great game last night, and the Twins have some guys, and Buxton got them, and there are some, even though they traded away a tenth of, you know, a 10 guys out of a 26-man roster. So it's as bad as it gets for the Minnesota Twins. So you don't take too much. It's more of just a, at least they didn't blow this one, because
that's what it felt like, especially at the end of the game. You see Boone look up in the stands, and he's just like, whoever he was looking at, oh, God.
He does that. God. I don't know who he looks at. I don't know who's in the stands, but he's always
yes. I think it might be his family, right?
It must be his family out in the stands, given the big emphatic win. But last night was more of a, at least they didn't blow this game, and they did what they normally do, beat the Minnesota Twins. The record is ridiculous. It's like 124 and 44.
Something like that.
Over the last 168 games.
They own the Twins, like you said.
They own the Twins. So it's a nice, comfortable win. I don't think you take too much out of the game other than Will Warren. But it's the same thing, and I wanted to incorporate the football teams too, because I just feel like as we talk about it, it's always like the Jets have to overcome their history. The Giants, like, and I hear Evan a lot talk about it. Yeah, Evan says a lot of things. Yesterday he was talking about, you know, you can't match up this Yankee team to the dynasty team, and I think that's a lot of a problem for the New York Yankee fan. He also doesn't understand the optimism for the Giants and Jets because of the history. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like, I look at every team individually. And that's my point about the Yankees. Yeah, we could talk about the issues Brian Cashman's have, but let's be honest, we're mad because this team is better than they're playing. There are fundamental issues with the organization, sure, but if you just look at this team, they should be better than this. And I look at the New York Giants and I look at the Jets and I say to myself, I don't care about Robert Saleh and every other, you know, regime that came through the Jets. I want to start fresh with this team this year. I look at the Giants and I say to myself, I don't care about what's happened in the past and the mismanages from John Mara or whatever else. I want to look at this team and say, you know what? They might have an elite pass rush.
Well, yeah. Listen, first of all, every organization is going to rest on its laurels.
Right.
You know what I mean? To some degree, right? The Jets are always going to pull back from their late 2000 run, back-to-back going years going to the AFC Championship. The Giants are going to pull off their Super Bowl run, especially when Eli and him beating the Pats and on, and the Yankees going to pull off the 09 series.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, man, I think the mistakes, and I think why people somehow come optimistic, because you always feel like you're always one thing away from turning it around.
Right.
And because you feel like the sauce was already made in the kitchen, the recipe's got to be in there somewhere. So it's a matter of how do we tap back in there. But I think we sometimes underestimate that, you know, decisions hurt.
Yeah.
They can hurt you for the long run. And I know in the Jets case, you know, I mean, drafting Zach Wilson.
No, hurt. It kills you.
You know, not having a scouting department to really vet through guys and get quality ball players, not guys with name and size.
Right.
Quality matters in all sports, right?
Yeah.
And like I was just watching a highlight, I posted it on my IG. There's a 5'11 center by the name of Willie Lampton.
Okay.
And Baldy posted him up.
Yeah.
Kid had three pancakes against the Cowboys in the preseason.
Yeah.
Kid was an undrafted free agent, right? Yeah. But so you look at the guy, 5'11 center, no way. But he's rolling guys like cheap carpet, right? So it's like, it's the quality of the ball player that matters. It's not always the name, size, and whatever characteristics you deem the mold for your organization. Sometimes it takes guys in the front office to like really say, hey, where do we want our franchise to be? Because, listen, this is why I am happy that they signed Sauce and they signed Quentin and they signed Garrett Wilson, because that's the foundation in your team, meaning in the New York Jets. And so when you find the foundation, the cornerstones, then you build on things, right? And I think the Yankees have been able to do it for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets seem like they had, to your point, I thought the Mets were going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought they were, especially coming off the year they had last year.
Right.
And then I think the Jets right now, they're just looking for some type of stability, right? Because it's just been a roller coaster for the last 8 years. So we'll see. But I agree with you.
Yeah, but like that's the thing, though. Like, to get to the Russell, like to your Zach Wilson point, Zach Wilson hurt the Jets. Zach Wilson's not here anymore. And I can't.
And he still stinks.
And the people who drafted him aren't here anymore.
No.
And so it's like, it's time to like put that aside and look at the team as it sits. Same thing with the Yankees. You can't chase like what used to be. Right.
Every organization does that.
I understand.
Me being a former Steeler, the Steelers do it. I mean, like all the great organizations, the Pats do it.
Yeah.
All these great organizations will always look for that picturesque moment on the wall where you walk by, like, these are the glory days.
Right.
Like, every organization does that.
Yeah, I know. Like, the Giants are big on that. Like, I can't tell you how many calls I take, and they go, and that's why this year I'm surprised there isn't more optimism with the Giants, because it's like, oh, when we won, it was the linebackers, or when we beat Tom Brady, it was the interior pass rush. Because, well, hopefully that's coming back this year, but that's not the only way to go about winning a championship. It's not the only way to go about building a great team. You don't need the great linebacking core if you, like, that helps, but you can build teams the other way. And we're always, like, I just feel like, especially now with the Yankees too, like, it's just all we talk about. In baseball, I was listening all morning long in the overnight.
Yeah.
It's nothing about the starting pitchers don't do this anymore, and this doesn't happen anymore, and it's not like it used to be, and we should have kept it this way, and that's fine, but you can't point to it and say this is why they're losing when it's a widespread problem across the league. Like, we're hung up on what used to be instead of just focusing on the failures and positives of what's right in front of us. And I'm tired of that conversation.
I think as a whole, as a society, I mean to become a little philosophical, we're an impulsive culture.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we everything has to be microwave. We want to be able to plug it in, get instant result, and walk and move on.
Right.
That's not sports, right? There's a development process in everything you do. So when you do hear guys or people say, hey, man, you know, when the Yankees had, you know, Pettit and Mariota, look what we had.
Right.
I'm just like, yeah, but those guys developed, right? Like, I heard Brady talking about, he was watching on somebody's podcast, but they were asking him about the state of the quarterback and how does he feel about young quarterback. He goes, physically, I think they're way more developed because there's, I mean, he's right. You turn on YouTube, right? YouTube or Instagram, there's a million throwing videos, right? There's now a million personal coaches and trainers. But from the emotional standpoint and the educational standpoint, a lot of these guys are behind, right? Mm-hmm. A la Anthony Richardson.
Right.
Anthony Richardson, if Anthony Richardson was playing, and I hate to say during my time, but back in the early, when I got drafted in 06, I was there my rookie year. I was there when Bart Scott almost knocked out Ben Roethlisberger because he was looking the other way.
Right.
Same thing happened to Anthony Richardson. That hit upside his head when he ended up hurting his finger. That was all Anthony Richardson's
100%.
Fault.
100%. No, he's got to recognize there's a man coming off the edge there.
He's been a part of enough football where he has to be. First of all, it was a scat protection, meaning he's an empty backfield.
Yeah.
But he should be. He's played enough football to know that there's a free rush. I had to get rid of the ball. And especially when it was built in curl route for him to do a quick dump.
Right.
But physically, he meets the bar and above. But from the between the ears, he's not there.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're starting to see, a lot of see. And it's really kind of like across the board with a lot of things. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of these guys are way more physically developed. But in between the ears, we got to get them more developed. And that comes from developmental. That's kind of building guys through a system and through a process.
Which is what, you know, we're constantly talking about the New York Yankees and the farm system and the issues of Brian Cashman. And I understand that. And to your point, that's definitely an issue. And as we watch it, if the Yankees fail this year, right, I totally am on board. I was on board after 2023 when the roster looked the way it did. If Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees fail, it is absolutely warranted to talk about cleaning house. But I just feel like we've gotten away from, like, because it's the only thing people want to talk about.
Yeah.
We want to talk about how the entire organization has been built from top to bottom, the differences between this and the dynasty team when they did things the way we liked them to do. And then we look at teams, and especially people are more interested, and I was talking about this with Fliegelman outside, people are more interested in comparing the New York Yankees to the 1999, 1998, 2000 New York Yankees than their current competition, who do things very similarly. Like, analytics is such an evil word, and we point to it as the main problem of the New York Yankees when you look around baseball and every team is doing things very similarly than the New York Yankees and very, like, analytically driven and doing the same stuff. We talk about the Mets and the only going five innings with their starting staff. Look around baseball. That is a major fundamental problem with baseball.
But you're hitting it right on the head. When your money doesn't work, your ego hurts.
Right.
And when you lose to a World Series to the Dodgers who spends big and won big, and you're the team that does the same thing, you're like, well, are we cursed? Did we go wrong?
So
you kind of have like this victim mentality.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. And that's why, like, I push back and I'm the Yankee shield, because I'll say to myself, I'm one of these crazy fans who will look at the World Series, right? And I will say, if Freddie Freeman was a half a second earlier or later.
Oh, just don't put Cortez in that spot.
Granted, obviously, right? I don't think it's as bad a decision as most do, but I get it, sure. But, like, if he's a half a second later, half a second earlier, and that's a fly ball to right field, if Aaron Judge doesn't drop a pop-up that he catches 1,000 times out of 1,000, and the Yankees go back to L.A. up 3-2 and win that series, is everything the Yankees doing okay? Are all the issues that the Yankees have no longer existent? If this team, as Aaron Boone said, and I didn't want to hear it.
It's,
I don't think any Yankee
point.
Fan does. But, like, say this team does go on a run, which we have seen crazier things happen. I don't want to hear the manager necessarily say it, but crazier things happen. If this team goes on a run, like, do we forget? Like, what happens
we're
here?
We're always
like,
going to forget.
Saying. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
we're always going to be that. We're always going to be that. That blink of an eye fan, because our lives are enough to deal with.
Right.
We cannot continue to be that emotionally invested in a team. We just want to see them get it together.
Right.
Right? Like anything. Like I tell my kids, when they're acting up, like, just get it together. Like, I got spaghetti on the stove. Yeah. I got people calling my phone. The wife chilling. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
And then I come back and we can celebrate it.
Right, exactly.
And my kids look at me like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
And they do.
Right. No, I get it. So, listen, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to winning. Last night they were able to do that. It's against the Minnesota Twins. We'll see if that can spark them. I expect them to still play well in this series, and then we'll see from beyond there. But I'm just, like, every conversation has to be boiled down. We got Joel Sherman. We got former Yankees. We got the, everyone wants to talk about the issues inside the team. Whatever we think about Brian Cashman and the way Chris, the Yankees have handled business, team's better than this.
But, Chris, let me, like, where do we pull from? If we're trying to look for motivation, where does our compass lead us? It's always going to lead us back to the glory days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's the source.
Right.
Like, one thing I tried not to, and I think I stated this yesterday, like, especially when I'm talking to younger guys in the league or I'm around younger guys, I try to adjust my mindset. How I played in the style we played is not today's football.
Yeah.
You're right? So you got to kind of pull yourself out of that. I'm like, this is a different game, different time. It is what it is. You got to be able to adjust.
Yeah.
And so that's what I try to do. I think it's hard for the sports fan, the avid ones, the diehards like yourself, to kind of not say, hey, you know, that was just a different time, different era, yada, yada, yada. Different
makeup. Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just, you know, I just, the constant, you know, delving deep into all the teams, right? The 15-year no playoff for the Jets. The idea that, you know, Brian Daboll's failed the last couple of years. They've been as bad, you know, the season's dead. And I'm not immune to it. I do it myself sometimes. Yeah. But, like, sometimes you got to be able to just look at what's going on, and good and bad. Because right now the Mets and Yankees are terrible. But they're terrible on their own. And I don't think it's necessarily because of some fundamental flaw that dates back 35 years into why the Yankees are failing right now. I just don't. Or why the Mets are failing right now. I think it's about something's up with this team, not necessarily the way they've done business for a quarter century.
I don't disagree with you from that aspect, but I do have to push back, because if you're not willing to celebrate the little wins, you'll never be able to celebrate anything.
Right.
Like, you started the show like, oh, it was a meaningless game against the Twins. We own the Twins. All right, then when are you happy?
You asked for this team
to turn it around.
That's fair.
You've asked them to do something. We've asked their pitching to go past six.
Yeah.
We asked our bats to bat, and everything came into fruition. And we're like, but still we have a problem.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of pushing back on that narrative. I can't get too excited about beating the Minnesota Twins. That was more of just last night was a solid win. You had to have it. Don't get me wrong. A loss would have been disastrous, so the win is positive. But it's not a win that necessarily I'm going to go and start to believe that that's the beginning of a run that they need.
No, you want to see them own the Twins, correct.
They own the Twins. Yep. They hit some solo home runs. They did have an inning where they got a couple of hits that scored some runs, and they got a good pitching performance, and the back end of the bullpen looked great. So there are positives to that. There's no doubt. Last night was an overall very positive game for the New York Yankees, but it is still a Minnesota Twins team that they own, plus they literally traded 10 out of 26 players on the team. So, like, that's a game you have to go take. Now continue to build. But I'm so hung up on the – listening all day yesterday to everybody. That's all we talk about. It's the same thing every year. Blah, blah.
Chris,
can we
to your
talk
point,
this team?
We did the same thing yesterday. I mean, we a little bit. We did the same thing. And nevertheless, we were coming off
a week.
We were coming off a weekend where both teams were absolute horrible.
Yeah.
Right? And then we witnessed Mariano tear his Achilles.
I know.
It felt like a horrible baseball
week. And that was part of it, too, because it's old-timers.
We didn't even talk about Alonso tying Strowbury's record.
That's true.
We barely mentioned it.
That's true, and he's got a chance to do it tonight at home against the Atlanta Braves. Big game, big start for Clay Holmes. So both teams playing big games tonight, hopefully the beginning of a run for this particular team that has nothing to do with the Met team that was 11 games under 500 and went on a run because Pete Alonso's not the same player he was last year. Francisco Lindor certainly isn't the same player he was last year. The pitching staff isn't the same. And for the New York Yankees, hopefully last night, although I don't have much confidence, hopefully last night was the beginning of a stretch of good baseball. We'll get into that. We'll get into the idea that why there is positivity for our football teams.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 626. Chris McMonagle and Willie Colon filling in for Boomer and Geo, who I guess are still out west at Pebble Beach. I don't know. They're not playing 2 days, are they?
Oh, yeah, they're playing again today. Not Pebble, Spanish Bay.
Oh,
yeah, look, that was the gang yesterday.
They look good.
Oh, there was all kinds of footage and content out there.
That's the
perfect
footage ad for a prostate exam.
That's a great point.
That's a great ad right there. Have you been checked? These guys have.
Hopefully they weren't checking each other.
They're right.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, no, well, LaPresti.
I lost Chris. That took Chris out.
That was a funny one. Chris LaPresti here with us today. What's up, Chris? What do we got?
All right, good morning. Sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball, trademarks used with permission. Also brought to you by ServPro, cleanup, restoration, and construction. Visit ServPro.com. Well, it's been proven time and time again. When the Yankees need a slump buster, you just bring in the Twins as the home run bats were activated last night in the Bronx.
2-2, breaking ball hammered down the right field line. It is a fair ball and gone. Ben Wright's third home run tonight by the Yankees. He's 2-for-2. For Ben, 17th home run, RBI number 38, 3-0 Yankees.
That's Dave Sims here on the fan.
Hey now.
One of four solo homers Yanks hit against Minnesota. Rice, Bellinger, Stanton, and Chisholm. Meantime, Will Warren, 6 2/3 innings of three-hit, two-run ball with 7 strikeouts for the victory. So a nice rocking chair win for the Yanks, 6-2, top the Twins. And they've now taken 23 of their last 30 regular season meetings with Minnesota. Also their first win in a series opener since the All-Star break. And for Warren, he's the first Yankee starter to record an out in the seventh inning in a month. Trent Grisham joins Susan here on the fan following the final out of the game. Hey, nice to see some length for a change.
Anytime you can get a starting pitcher into the seventh, you're really helping out a bullpen, giving guys breaks when they need them. Because we're gonna lean on those guys hard.
Yes, they will. Rest of the way, Luke Weaver and David Bednar finished it off, getting the final 7 outs in order, 4 via strikeout on 33 pitches. So good job by those two. Back to the offense. Bellinger got it started with a solo homer in the first, much needed.
Yeah, definitely. Understand what's at stake, what's been going on, and a bunch of guys were all putting in the work today, and it was nice. It's always nice when the results show.
What do you think it means by the guys are putting in the work today?
It means they care.
Yeah. You like the today means maybe not yesterday? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I just wonder if it was one of those. Yeah. I'm with the media and I just throw an extra word in
I
there.
I think so.
They do anything different?
No, I don't think
so. No, right?
No, I don't think so. I think he just meant, we got results today.
Yes.
But we put in the work today. It was all today. Today
success,
was a good day.
The success was there.
The success was there.
You
got to celebrate them, no doubt. But this is more of a relief than a celebration.
Yes.
You can't lose that game. And the idea that it's the first time they've won a series opener since the Cubs series before the All-Star break, which, by the way, they went on to lose the next two. Last night was a good, solid win. There's no doubt about it. Watching Jazz, hit the home run, that was a positive, even if it's just to get him going.
Yes.
He's been in a brutal slump. So a lot of positives from last night's win. But, again, you got to make it stick. You got to take all three, go up against their ace, Joe Ryan, at the end of the series, and then continue to play well from there. So last night was just hopefully the start, but I don't know. I'm not that excited about it.
No, I mean, it's to be expected when the Twins come
in. I mean, you're being realistic. There's nothing wrong with that.
It was a good, solid win.
I was telling Chris after we sat here yesterday and threw spaghetti at the wall and cried and was upset about the current state of New York baseball. It felt good, to your point. It was a relief.
Yes.
And that we should celebrate the small wins as much as we celebrate the big
ones. And let me tell you this. You know how I know last night I was not excited about it? Because even I'm not dumb enough to bet the Minnesota Twins against the New York Yankees. I stayed out of that one. I wasn't losing money on the Twins last night, that's for sure.
All right, last word to Aaron Boone, at least for this hour. He's not paying any attention to another win over these Twinkies.
We're 1-0 against them this year, and a lot of players that have never played for them or for us or played against each other in this scenario. So just one of those things where, obviously, our organization's had a lot of recent success, but that can always change.
Well, they're hoping it doesn't change in this particular week, because they really could use the series win or a sweep, as you said. And tonight,
we've been talking in the open. I'm proud of Aaron Boone there. The history doesn't matter. They're 1-0 against the Minnesota Twins. That's all that matters. I should be happier. I should be happier.
Yeah,
I should be a happier guy.
I'm asking you to be present. Aaron Boone is obviously present.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Boone is very present.
And so we just need to
where his feet are.
Where his feet are. He's very
present. I know that I've heard Boone say that, but I hear that a lot with the NFL guys, or the college football guys. Be where your feet are.
Yeah.
100%.
Are you grounding? Are you a grounding guy? Are you guys?
I am a grounding guy. Are you anti-grounding?
No.
I'm big into grounding.
You got to be able to tap into
the earth, man.
Yeah.
People. Oh, you okay?
But no, grounding is like walking around barefoot.
With the barefoot. Yeah.
On grass, have a little
time. Yeah, but even the guys who say be where your feet are, they're not even talking about taking, it's just a reference to just living in the moment.
I took it literal for a second, and I just wanted to ask if he was into it. Because I know a lot of athletes, you mentioned what athletes say, a lot of athletes, I think the first one that was Noah Syndergaard that really kind of
started it.
That started like the knowledge of it becoming like common.
Was he the first one?
I feel like he was the first one that I remember talking about being connected to the earth and walking barefoot.
Man, I tell you what, there's been like this silent movement of guys not only grounding but taking ayahuasca. Oh. I was Von Miller was with Big Cat and those guys from Barstool and PFT. Shout out to those guys. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he took ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers, and he's been doing it for a little bit now.
Really?
I don't know if I want to get on that trip. I don't know if I want to be on that car.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
They said it's an awakening. Yeah. I mean, he talked highly about it. Aaron Rodgers did too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want to get on that car.
Yeah. He famously talked about how he felt the hands of his dead relatives on his body.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need that.
Well, the one that gets it for me.
I discover a 20 in my back pocket. That's enough connection for me.
The one that gets to me is like they put you in like a cramped room with everyone else and you're.
They put you in this like this hot teepee is steaming.
And you're. Coming out of both ends though. Like you get physically sick in a room full of people where it's just like.
Other grown men trying to find their way in life.
Like we're all in. It's like a vomitorium in Rome. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
I mean, we both can use the pounds. We could both.
Well, I mean, listen.
We
can
both drop a quick 10. A teepee. I would drop a quick 10 in a teepee with you, Chris.
Really? Yes. All right. Now we're talking.
That's some show content. Yeah. Send the camera crew.
I'll sweat it out. I don't know about. I don't feel like vomiting with you though.
Me and Chris in our boxer briefs and a teepee, sweating it out.
That would be some scene.
That's an image.
I'm just saying, if you need a guy.
That we saw one picture that would be a commercial for a prostate exam. I don't know what that commercial would be for. I don't know what that one would do.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday you guys will get that.
Maybe.
Tonight you got Carlos Rodon opposed by what will be a bullpen game for the Twins. Pregame at 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. In Houston, the Astros held off the Red Sox 7-6 despite a home run for Alex Bregman and his return to whatever they're calling that place now, Daikin Park or Daikin Park, whatever. Also, the re-home debut for Carlos Correa. He was 1-for-4 with an RBI. The Mets are back to work tonight, 1-3 with the Braves at Citi Field. They'll be looking to put an end to their 7-game skid while Atlanta goes for a fourth consecutive win. Clay Holmes and Spencer Strider, the starters for a 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Mets are now six back of the Phillies atop the NL East as the Phils took care of business last night in Cincinnati.
The 1-0 to Schwarber.
Swung on, blasted high in the air to right. Marte looking up, and that ball is gone. Kyle Schwarber with a towering home run. Back in his home state of Ohio.
TV cameras had a hard time following where that one landed. Phillies radio with the call. Home run number 42 for Schwarber and a 4-1 win over the Reds. So that does give the Mets a little bit more breathing room. In the wild card standings, they're now 2 up on Cincinnati.
That's what I was going to ask because Tim Rock, is it Tim? I'm sorry. Justin Rock.
Justin Rock.
I knew I was wrong as soon as I said it. Justin Rock. He was talking about that, Phillies won, not a great night for the Mets. I don't know. That is an interesting question. I mean, you don't want to give up on the division, even though, it's slipping away. I don't want to give up on the... Don't tell Brandon Nimmo that. But I think you, first and foremost, you got to get in. I think you got to make sure you're not caught in the wild card. So I would think that last night was a good night for the New York Mets.
Yeah, but I guess it comes down to which team, scares you more, obviously. So, you would think you'd be able to hold off the Reds. So you'd rather see them beat your division rival and it's a half game, ultimately.
What would you rather have?
Last night?
Yeah,
I think I would have rather the Reds win the game.
Fleegs, you're a Mets fan. Mets or Phillies or Reds?
Who I'd rather see win? Phillies. Because right now the scariest team for the Mets is the Mets.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Look, if the Mets don't play a little better, it's not going to matter.
I don't really think it matters. I think it's a win-win no matter what for the Mets. As long as one of those teams lose, which obviously they are, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, but one of them wins, too.
I understand that. But one also loses there, Chris.
That is true. There's two ways to look at it, I suppose. I would without question, be rooting for the Phillies. If I were a Mets fan, I'd be rooting for the Phillies. If this were the Blue Jays versus Red Sox, I'd be rooting for the Blue Jays.
Fair enough.
The point is that all this, you're not rooting for the Mets, which I think that's the point. We need to root for the Mets. Mets need to win. Yes. You just need to root for the Mets. Yeah, it's not root for other teams to lose.
No. You're going to the game tonight.
I am.
Yeah.
You going crazy? What are we doing?
I mean, I got my 8-year-old. I mean, it's not going to be one of those nutty hang from the rafters nights for Ascona. That's not happening.
Dad and son shirts off?
You know what? It's going to be, I shouldn't say it's going to be our first monumental experience if Pete hits the home run, because we went to the game 5 of the NLDS last year.
Wow.
But it's going to be up there for memory for him. I mean, absolutely. He's been asking me about Pete Alonso for the last 3 weeks. When's he going to break the record?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen for Pete.
I think it'll happen this series. I don't know about tonight, but it'll happen this series.
Come on, right. Help me out.
I hope it happens.
Right? I hope it's tonight.
I hope it happens for the kid.
Brewers keep on rolling, 7-1 atop the Pirates for their 10th straight win. Jose Quintana is now 10-4 with a 3.44 ERA. And tonight, we'll see when they put that winning streak to the test, because it's Paul Skeens and his league-leading 1.94 ERA on the mound for Pittsburgh, while Freddy Peralta goes for Milwaukee. Jets and Giants back to work today. They got the joint practice in Florham Park, East Rutherford tomorrow, and then the annual preseason game this Saturday. Did you guys do joint practices with the Giants when you were with the Jets, or no?
No, I remember Rex asked us. We had like a senior committee on the team, like guys who the veteran guys, and I think we were supposed to do it, and I said no, we shouldn't do it. And I think it was a consensus of guys. It was kind of a mixed bag. Some guys were like, yeah, it'll be good for us.
Yeah.
Other guys were like, no, like myself, solely because I think you get nothing out of it. So many fights. I mean, you're going against guys who don't care about your well-being, right?
Right.
They're trying to eat just like you. And they don't know who you are, so that adds another layer of like not giving, you know what? So nothing comes out of it. I think it's a waste of a day. I mean, when you're going,
they're going to do it twice this week.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like now they try to make it. Like I went last year to the Jets Commanders practice. That was okay. Like the guys pretty much respected each other. But prior to that, I mean, it was always brawls, like long brawls.
Yeah.
Coaches getting fights. It's just it's nothing comes from it. Like the guy across from you on your team. You guys may get chippy, but you guys also understand your teammates. You never wanted to go too crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
If the Giants roll in there, you're just like, yeah, I'm fighting
every these guys down.
I'm fighting
right?
every
I'm
Giant.
I'm surprised Rex would even be open for it. I figured he'd be trying to hide all the Giants memorabilia or signs or championship trophies.
No.
That was Rex's style.
Yeah.
The Giants didn't exist.
Rex or, like the Snoopy Bowl trophy.
Though. Yes.
Yeah,
really beautiful feet.
Yeah. Sure did.
Love Rex.
I want to go back to Brian Daboll's post-game presser from Saturday in Buffalo. I didn't get to this yesterday. So in assessing Jackson Dart's performance, Daboll references Dart calling himself mid, I guess, on the sideline after he came out of the game, I guess. But
he called himself mid?
Apparently he did, yeah. But this was the sequence with Daboll,
okay.
And it'll kind of set the whole thing up here.
Whatever mid, what's mid now mean? That was mid. That was his response. I said, let's just... You know, he's pretty hard on himself. I'll say that. You know, he's. Yeah, you got to ask him about what mid means. I'm 6'7".
Everybody. All right. I see you're looking at me weird. So that you've already answered my question. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what that means. Willie, you up on this fad? 6'7"? Yeah. No, 6'7". Hear him say 6'7".
Oh, I think on a scale from 1 to 10.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Yeah.
How about you guys in there, Scones? You got a kid about my age.
Yeah.
Or not my age, my kid's age. Jeez, that sounded wrong. We have sons around the same age.
And I agree to it. I said, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, right. Have you heard that from your son at all?
No. 6'7", no.
6'7". All right.
He's a big 1v. You know what I noticed with these kids
1v1?
1v1.
Right.
What is up with that?
And POV.
Yeah, and POV.
POV, yeah.
I thought I was alone in this.
My son all day is like 1v1, 2v1. I'm like, what is that?
I don't know.
We're getting old, boys. That's what's happening.
The pool has like a basketball. Like, how about me and you? 1v1.
Same thing with me.
What's 1v1?
Yes.
And everything's POV.
Yeah. I don't know what POV is. He hasn't got
point
to
of
that.
Point of view. Oh, yeah. But like, it, like in stuff that
it doesn't
make
sense.
Right. Like, Andrew, POV, me and you. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's like, just, well, you know.
Current day slang.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
As
so,
well as skibbity toilet and all
the
that.
They
kind of passed that phase.
He slipped it right by the media there.
Yeah.
No one said anything. So. I guess then social media got wind of it. It turned into a whole thing with one reporter circling back to it the next day during Dable's Zoom call.
Are you aware that you set the social media ablaze by dropping a 6'7" that none of us who you were talking to even knew what you were talking about?
Yeah, I didn't think you guys would know.
We didn't. No, we didn't. We needed social media to tell us.
All right, so then how does a 50-year-old Brian Daboll know about it?
Is that something you picked up from Dart or from your kids?
My kids.
Okay.
Yeah. So long story short, this is a TikTok thing.
What does it mean?
It, I guess, originated from a lyric from some song that I don't even know. It's just become a popular phrase for young kids to the point where...
Did he use it correctly? Like, what does it actually mean?
It means nothing. You can just drop it in, and it's an annoying thing that young kids are doing.
The only thing I could think of is, doesn't Austin Power or Austin Powers are like a British thing? Oh, I'm all sixes and sevens?
Yes, this has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's a song lyric. I don't know. This song, Skrilla? I don't know Skrilla.
Yeah, you
know Skrilla?
I've heard the name.
Yeah. Doot Doot is the name of the song.
Sounds about right. It sounds like sounds like that's exactly what I would hear in a car ride. Dad, can you play Doot Doot by Skrilla? I'm like, no.
So they just drop it. My kids do it because their friends do it.
Yeah.
And we had football practice last night, and our head coach, who has obviously a son same age, they must do it at home, so he dropped it in there. And it's just random out of nowhere, kind of like Dable did there, but everyone in the media, it slipped right by them.
Yeah.
So I was curious if that was on your radar.
What's also interesting, both quarterbacks, him and Shadur, graded their performance like mid. Like very average. And I'm just like, I don't know about that.
No.
Especially you, Shadur. Like,
I think they were grading themselves too tough.
Yeah.
They were better than mid.
Yeah, I thought Shadur was for sure.
Yeah. Well, holding themselves to a high standard.
Which is great. That's good. Yeah, right. Which is
better
great.
That than I was fantastic.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm okay
with
that.
Put me in the Hall of Fame.
You would the first time ever in a preseason game, if Jackson Dart looked at the media and said,
Stones.
I was fantastic today.
Did you just call me Stones? Or scones?
I meant to say scones, but I was calling you stones.
I got stones,
I didn't even know you were talking.
I thought you meant Dart would have stones to say that.
No, what I'm saying, for Shadur to be a guy who's supposed to have all this moxie and swagger, right? For him to be like, yeah, I did what I know I can do. I came out here and balled. I'm okay with that. Like, one thing we love about the heels in wrestling, they never go off script. Ric Flair remained a cocky, arrogant, rich SOB.
Yes.
And we loved him for it. If I'm Shadur, guys like you make money and blow up in this league because they need somebody to hate. You've already got that side wanting you to lose. Now you won in a dramatic, not a dramatic fashion, but in a surprising fashion. Lean on it. Lean even harder.
Let me spin it a different way. Doesn't it also kind of like a little humble brag? Like, you thought that was good? That was just mid. I got a lot more I can do than that.
I didn't get that sense.
All right.
But the sense I got was like, he wanted to kind of wanted to bring it down a little bit. Yeah. And I'm just like, no.
I think so.
Okay. Keep it going. Like, prime. Like, his dad never stopped being prime. You know what I mean? And look how we view Deion Sanders as one of the all-time greats.
Sure. We'd have because to look back at his preseason debut as a rookie.
I understand that. Yeah. But my point is, don't temper yourself because now everybody wants to clap for you.
Yeah.
Lean on, like, you've always been this guy, remain this guy.
Okay.
Because people don't believe you. So that's my
point. No, I hear you. I'm just saying, I think he might get flack. I think he would. But to your point, that's what you want.
Yeah,
you
just want lean him to get into it.
Okay.
Just keep balling and lean to it. Because what's the greatest thing about wrestling? Eventually the heel becomes the hero.
Right.
Because he wins enough, he overcomes the odds.
Yeah.
And to a point you're like, you know what, I kind of like this guy.
Yeah.
That's how sports, that's how we grow to love icons and athletes who, like, we hate them for whatever reason, and they come out on top, and you turn around like, I kind of like them. I'm okay with that.
No, I just think.
So that's my only advice.
I don't disagree, if it was week one of the regular season, I think I'd feel a little bit better about it. And then, because what happens if he comes out and doesn't play well in the second game of the preseason? And
that's the risk you take.
I get it.
And with Shadur, unlike Dart, the roster spot's not exactly guaranteed.
Right.
Like, he's not starting week one.
I think I just saw them put out the depth chart. He still is fourth.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
I mean, Flacco's week one.
That's for sure.
I just don't want him to kind of like bow
out. Chris?
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. 6:53. Chris McMonagle and Willie Colon filling in for Boomer and Geo this morning. So I said it at the end of the going into the break there, and I wanted to ask you guys this. Like, I remember, I'm trying to look back and make sure I have the year correct. I guess it was 22. So 2022, Aaron Judge is on this historic pace of hitting home runs, and I remember they were just absolutely floundering. They were in the midst of a terrible slump like they have had the last handful of years, which is part of what we talked about in the open. And he hit 50 out in Anaheim against the Angels. And I just remember feeling like, not that it's a record breaker, but it's 50 home runs. He's on pace to break all the records. And I just remember feeling like, this feels empty. They lost the game. They're in the midst of this miserable slump. And I'm curious if Pete Alonso tonight, right, as Rascon is going to be there, this is a big deal. I think for Met fans, it's a big deal. It's part of the reason they wanted him back with the team. He's been their guy. He's been their maybe emotional leader, if not their actual leader. I think Lindor stepped in last year and kind of took that role. But he's been their guy. And this has been on the forefront since his rookie season, hitting 50-plus home runs that year. You know, and Darryl Strawberry is a name that obviously is synonymous with the Mets, even though he spent part of his career in other places, including the Yankees. Like, this is a big moment for Met fans. If they do it in the midst of this losing streak, and say they do it in a loss tonight, he does it tonight in a loss against the Atlanta Braves. Like, how do you come away feeling about it? Does it ruin it at all? Or are we still just thrilled that he broke the record? I mean, obviously, I think the game will stop on some level. I don't know how long, but there'll be a long applause. And it doesn't change the significance of it in Mets history. But there's no way to not feel like there's a damper on the moment if it comes while they've lost their 12th out of 13th game. And possibly, depending on what Cincinnati does, you know, come within a half a game of being out in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, on top of losing to a bad Braves team.
And to your nemesis. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. It's tough, right? Because I think individual accolades, it speaks to the commitment to him and the ball club.
Right.
Right. And on top of that, you know, it's a sour moment because it's valid. You want to celebrate him and his accomplishment.
Right.
And I think Darryl's going to obviously be there, right?
I would think Darryl's going to be there.
And he was
there in the last series.
Yeah, and he's talked that he has a relationship with Darryl Strawberry.
Sure.
So that's good. But, yeah, I'm with you. Like, a loss would put a sour moment.
Yeah, like if they're down 7-2 and he hits a solo home run to make it 7-3 in the eighth, like what's the feeling in that moment?
I think to some Mets fans, I don't know. I'm stuck because I get both sides, right? Like, it's like my guy got the record, but at the same time, like, we're still suck.
Like, I think Rascon's son is going to eat it up no matter what the score is, no matter what the situation.
As will I. Yeah,
okay.
I'm not going to take one loss to heart, you know, as long as he's breaking the record. You know what's going to kill me, though?
Yeah.
If they're down 10-1 and you got to sit there and hope he hits the home run his next
and
he doesn't and you've been sitting there, that's what's going
to
kill me for an hour.
So you want him to get
it
out
early.
I could have been on the Long Island Expressway already.
There's a chance he gets up in the eighth. We got to wait for it.
We got to sit and wait.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Fleeks? How does the moment hit you?
It would almost feel appropriate. Like, you think about moments in Mets, you know, the last day at Shea, it's closing after, you know, this highly emotional moment with Seaver and Piazza, and it's after the Mets just collapsed for the second time in a row. So it would bother me if it's in a blowout loss because it would be a meaningless home run. It would damper it a little bit. Eventually, I'd probably look back more in the moment and feel better about it. But, like, right there as I'm watching it, like, I'd be like, I mean, this stinks because it's not just... If it's a loss when the team is playing well, it's at whatever. Like you said, it would be a loss in the middle of right now the team currently falling apart and jeopardizing making the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I mean, I tend to agree because I would be in that building like, it's cool. I mean, I would stand up and applaud, but the feeling would be like the feeling would just be like it's somewhat empty. Like, it stinks, and it's not his fault, although you could argue that part of the collapse is his fault. He hasn't played well since, you know, the end of May, really. He's had a couple of moments between now and then, and what's frustrating is he carried, like, at the start of the season,
he was carried him.
We would have thought this moment would have come a month ago. Like, he started the season like a house on fire. He was carrying the team. All that talk about Juan Soto struggling and not being himself and
I actually think it motivated him to play well.
Yeah.
The fact that everybody was coming to the ballpark to see Soto and how he was going to fare.
I think so, maybe.
Alonso was like, I've been here. I've been true. So I think it kind of
The contract negotiation, absolutely all of it. And he's an interesting figure because, let's be honest, I don't want to put a damper on things, but we all know how Darryl Strawberry ended up, you know, getting, you know, moving on to L.A. I'm curious with the way David Stearns operates, a 31-year-old free agent first baseman, you know, who's now having a tough second half following a miserable season last year. Like, maybe you should savor it no matter when it comes, because I don't know if Pete Alonso's on this team next year.
Well, I think that's what makes these next couple of games important.
Yeah.
Right? It's reference to how he plays and how this team fares.
Yeah.
Because you can't have the year you had last year, then have a down year after signing Soto, thinking that the bullpen was going to be the strength of your team.
Right.
And not having any type of, I guess, rhythm or momentum pretty much after All-Star. I mean, from like June going up to now, it's been dead. So I think if you're Stearns, you're like, man, I got to shake things up.
Right.
And Alonzo may be part of the shake.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's funny, too, because it's like a fine line. Because I know in the overnights, I was talking about maybe him playing himself out of the contract because he was playing so well. Because Stearns didn't want to pay him big money, and free agency was going to be different for him this year. If you remember, last year he had the qualifying offer attached to him, which meant any team that would assign him had to give up a pick to the New York Mets. That's something teams don't want to do for a third baseman his age.
31 years old.
Well, yeah. 31 this year. I think it was 30 last year, but still right around there on the wrong side of 30, either way. Kind of a lumbering guy who hasn't all been, you know, though he's been much better defensively around the bag. But, like, I was wondering, like, free agency might get big. We saw Vladimir Guerrero sign a big contract for the first time a first baseman got paid. Like, if he gets to an exorbitant number, Stearns likes to do business. I don't know. And now it's almost the opposite. Where does this fade change it? So we'll see. Tonight's the start of a big series.
But that's why I agree with Stones, a.k.a. Stones over here.
Stones.
Because no matter what happens, because he may not be here next year.
Right.
To your point.
Yeah.
This is the time where you say, you know what, let's just kind of celebrate him in a moment.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
No, I think you definitely celebrate it, but there's that little, like, this freaking team, even this. They got to ruin even this for me.
I still think he's back, though, Willie. I still think he's coming back. I don't think he's going to be gone after this year. I mean, look at the rest of the lineup. Where are you getting production from this lineup? The lineup's
But if
you're going to say bye, Pete? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but if they take a dive right now when they need him and Lindor and Soto to play their best right now to kind of pull them out of this rut, I mean, at some point, if you're Stearns, and I think Chris is right, you've got a 31-year-old guy who's been loyal to the soil, but at the same time, they got to get better. So
I think it's going to be an interesting offseason for Pete. This Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by your local Ford stores. Mick Monagle and Willie Colon filling in for Boomer and Gio. Be right back.